Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever. Welcome to our kitchen table.
All right, welcome back. Sorry, we are 2 weeks behind. We are going to continue on page 44, chapter 2. And this subsection, it will be in relation to movement. We don't have much to say about it. Most of this will be a repeat of... Well, not repeat, but...
It's self-explanatory, mm-hmm. And I don't think I wish that we had someone who was more, from my perspective, like, more mature,
sure,
in this realm.
Yeah.
Because...
Both my father and Father David.
Yes, like, those are the two specifically that I would really love to comment on, mm-hmm, this section, because... I have thoughts, but I can't put words to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I have even a little bit of a hard time comprehending exactly what he's saying. I understand the gist of it, for sure.
Right.
But, like, it's the way he... I think the way he words it for me is a little bit... I just don't understand as well as I,
sure,
do some of the other things. So,
sure,
I would love to have commentary from
either or.
Yeah. But anyhow.
Well, let's start. Sarah will read the whole subsection and we'll go from there.
Okay. Sounds good. This is called In Relation to Movement. The second function of the body is movement. Its organ is the muscles, in which lie the power and strength of the body, the means of labor. With relation to the soul, this is the seat of the will, and it very easily develops self-will. The measured and sensible development of this function, giving to the body stimulation and animation, trains one to labor and forms the habit of stability. On the contrary, an unsteady development, left to the will of the child, develops in some a hyperactivity and inattentiveness, and in others a slowness, lifelessness, and laziness. In the former case, self-will and disobedience are turned into a law, in connection with which are to be found also aggressiveness, anger, and unrestraint in one's desires. In the latter case, one becomes immersed in the flesh and given over to sensual enjoyments. Therefore, one should have in view that in strengthening the powers of the body, one should not thereby inflate self-will and destroy the spirit for the sake of the flesh. To avoid this, the chief things are moderation, a definite schedule, and supervision. Let the child play, but let it be in the place and in the way which are indicated to him. The will of the parents should be imprinted upon each step, of course in a general way. Without this, the behavior of the child can easily become corrupted. After enjoying himself according to his own will, the child always returns unwillingly to obey even the smallest things. And this is if it happens only once. What then can one say if this part of bodily activity is completely neglected? How difficult it is later to uproot self-will, which so quickly seats itself in the body as in a fortress. The neck will not bend, the hands and feet will not move, and the eyes will not even wish to look as they are told. But on the contrary, a child comes out ready to obey any kind of order, when from the very beginning he is not given total freedom in his movements. In addition, there is no better training in being the master of one's body than by forcing it to exert itself according to orders.
That's a lot. And it is even beyond my knowledge a little bit. But one thing that struck to me is this question, how difficult it is later to uproot self-will, which so quickly seats itself in the body as in a fortress.
Mm-hmm.
To me, what he's trying to say is be careful of your bodily habits.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, like, beforehand, we were talking about, like, the food and certain habits that can come from food. And in the next subsection, he will talk about nerves and senses. So I think he's talking, or he's touching upon the whole body as a as something that has to be broken down and rebuilt.
Yeah.
From the adult point of view, from looking at the kids, we as parents have a possibility to fix and change behaviors
and habits
that might be falling in. And I think a lot of parents probably are now laughing at me that, well, it's not possible. It is possible. It's just what it requires is looking at ourselves again and see, well, where did they get the habit?
Mm-hmm.
And is it the habit that is some kind of like a habit extension of mind that I have,
mm-hmm.
that they follow or they are building upon, which can be a little bit different habit than what we have, but if you look at the root, it might be
mm-hmm.
the same.
Very true.
So I think this self-habit and uprooting it is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And it really takes back to what we said many times in our podcast, is what's the morning routine and evening routine
mm-hmm.
with kids? What's the most important to see? What's the most important thing that they see us do?
Mm-hmm.
Is it prayer? Is it phone? Is it running out of the house because we are running too late somewhere
mm-hmm.
and forgetting about God? And well, you and I have a very luxurious setting.
Opportunity, I would say.
Sure, we get to be with both of our kids morning and evening and really mold them. But I do think that if both or you and I, one of you or I would have to leave the house,
mm-hmm.
we would create that space probably in the evening
mm-hmm.
to really put that habit into them that, all right, you start with God your day and you finish your God with God.
Your day with God, yeah.
Finish your day with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if there are some days that you have to go early or yeah. I have to leave early, and that doesn't stop me from, I mean, I'm just speaking from mm-hmm. my side, from taking them to prayer in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, we still have our normal everyday routine.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, still do prayers and have breakfast and play and do all the things. But
it is quite natural, to be honest with you. Especially I see it on Sundays, because I have 8:30 liturgy.
Yeah, so we don't do morning prayers on Sunday because we have liturgy as our morning prayer.
But you could see if you are in a restroom getting ready,
mm-hmm.
you could see the kids being wandering. They don't know. I mean, they're playing, but it's like, well,
what are we supposed to be doing right now?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's not play time.
Yeah.
It's a prayer time. It's a milk time.
Mm-hmm.
You get the milk in the morning, prayer room, and then we go downstairs for breakfast.
Right.
So, like, you can always, every Sunday, it's kind of fascinating to see that they are just hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than playing and being... Eventually, they got to play.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes them a while to, like, rile up and play.
Yeah, like, their first steps are toward down the hall to the prayer room. And then it's actually me, like, going into our bathroom so I can get ready for church, but
mm-hmm.
that's very true. Yeah, that's very true.
And same thing evenings. It's still fascinating to me that we go upstairs, we do our routine with Amelia changing diaper,
mm-hmm.
getting ready, and it's without any fight.
Mm-hmm. Or question.
Or this question.
Is just what
we are
do.
Going to go pray. Let's mm-hmm. go pray. Everybody is in the room. Now it's a little bit different. Miron doesn't want me to hold him, so he's more roaming around, but it's okay. What's important is that there is this habit that
mm-hmm.
he sees us in prayer.
Right.
And adding more and more prayers, thank God.
Yeah.
and even praying for them by name.
Mm-hmm.
So like they hear that you and I are praying for them every single night.
Well, and I think that this has to do with, like, to bring it to this relation to movement, which is this section, is do you really think that they would prefer to go to the prayer room than sit upstairs and play in Miron's room? Probably not.
Sure.
And so we are dragging them, not unwillingly, but we are creating that movement in them that, even though, yes, I would much rather be riding on this car, bike thing in the room or doing whatever, playing the piano, even though I'd much rather be doing that, we're breaking from that and we're going to the prayer room in order to thank God for our day.
Yep.
And it's like this, there's no better training in being the master of one's body than by forcing it to exert itself according to orders.
Yep.
And that's kind of like we're breaking their will and telling them this is what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
And it's giving them some structure and helping them understand that it's not just play and fun at all times.
Right.
We have to come back down,
sure.
You know?
Yeah. And that it is okay to break the playtime,
mm-hmm.
to pray for not long,
mm-hmm.
for now.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay because you do your prayers.
Right.
And then you go back to play or go say goodnight.
Yeah.
And usually
we
it's
read a book.
Sarah puts Emilia to
sleep.
To bed,
mm-hmm.
to sleep. And then now there's another thing that we read with Miron at night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Like today I was reading with Miron and it was so wonderful to go from playing noises, crashing cars,
mm-hmm.
to noisemakers, to sit on the bed,
mm-hmm.
and just be read, and then just be in silence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like all the sensory are being shut down slowly by slowly, so he is calm,
mm-hmm.
going to bed. No TV, no screen,
right.
Nothing. So it's it's something that, since you said this, reminded me of Father Josiah, where he talks about prayer rule, and he says that break for evening prayers before you get too tired.
Mm-hmm.
Evening.
Yeah.
So he says, like, if you come from work at 5:30 or 9 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock, do them right away,
mm-hmm.
or do them almost immediately,
mm-hmm.
before you sit down and eat your dinner.
Oh.
Because then you won't be tired.
Sure.
And you won't be lazy with those prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be lazy like, oh, I'm just too tired to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So like you kind of get away to work, even work by praying work.
Right.
And then you break for
sure.
Rest.
Yeah, I understand. I wanted to say one thing about if there isn't this structure, one thing I had underlined in this section was to avoid this, the hyperactivity and or laziness. The chief things are moderation, a definite schedule, and supervision.
Mm-hmm.
And when under those three things, a word that came to mind in my eyes, mind, is that, or our boundaries.
Hmm.
Not to just willy-nilly let them do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't
be brats.
Some days it's really hard,
mm-hmm.
not to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying to give Miron a little bit more space to explore, like outside. Like I'm letting him ride his bike in the parking lot in behind the church and stuff. And but there are still definite boundaries and expectations from me. Definite, like of where he can go, where he can't go, mm-hmm. how he still is, even is going to be behaving outside if he is acting like a complete wild person, you know? Yes, I know it happens, but there are boundaries that you set.
Yeah.
And if they are going to go beyond those boundaries, then that's what helps keep everything in moderation, yeah. you know? And supervision is also another thing. I find myself a lot, since I'm with the kids, I feel like I'm speaking more on this because
sure,
I'm with them during the day and during times like this. Yeah. But
I mean, we are, just to be like, to give a background, we are treating, since I work from home and I do everything at home, I basically disappear in the office and I work 9 to 5 or...
Yeah, his office is in our home.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a church office at either of our parishes, so...
So I can't disappear. So Miron can't see me leave the house
yeah.
that goes to work. So basically I disappear for amount of hours and...
Right.
I'm still around
mm-hmm.
when there is needs help, but we just want to give him the sense of that...
A day's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go... to work every single day.
Right.
So that's why you're...
Right.
Because you're mostly with the kids.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. Yeah. But I just... We're I think, trying to give them... Like, the supervision is another thing that... You don't... I like to give them free time.
Yeah.
To not... I want them... to go play by themselves. But I'm also with them so much that they're almost under constant supervision and I'm always, you know, giving direction or correcting or guiding in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But also they have to learn to do things that on their own without me. But I think that the supervision
is necessary.
Well, of course it's necessary, but the supervision that I'm giving them and the direction that I give them might not always be exactly what it should be, but it's allowing them to naturally fall into what they need to fall into when they aren't being supervised.
Right.
They just know how to behave in a particular way.
Right.
Do you understand what
yeah.
I mean?
Mm-hmm. And it is necessary just because, like he says, is what St. Theophan says, self-will and disobedience are turned into a law. In the connection with which are to be found also aggressiveness, anger, and unrestraint in one's desires.
Mm-hmm.
So, if, as you said, if there is no boundary, if there is no supervision, then something else comes into their lives that turns into a law.
Right. Well, and you and I were talking about self-will the other day, and... how much of our sinful nature is that because of our self-will. And allowing our children to not delve into that as deeply as they could will help them in the long run.
Sure.
Be able to have discipline mm-hmm. and understanding that just because they want something doesn't mean that they're going to get it. And,
sure.
you know,
yeah.
all of these kinds of things. And believe me, we aren't doing everything exactly as we should, for sure not. But we're really trying in this regard,
mm-hmm.
I think, to help them understand schedule and boundaries and moderation.
Yep.
And... so
it's basically setting them up for success, and it's we are not just well we were just talking about our kids, but I think this formula can be taken to any kid,
yeah,
any family,
and this is only our commentary because this is our house that we live in all day every day, so
yeah.
it's, we have nothing else to say about anybody else or how they raise their children,
right.
but this is just. Happens to be how we do it.
Mm-hmm. The words from we're trying to follow words of Saint Theophan, and he's really wise. He's really wise with these words, and direction. I'm sure there is more to this.
Oh, I mean, we could spend an hour talking about this.
I think, unless you have something...
Well, I mean, you wanted to give some kind of a challenge or did you want to say something like that? Like, just to...
Oh, I did. Oh, actually, yes, I forgot about the challenge. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just to look at your... Take a whole week, mm-hmm. 5 days, or even 7 days. Take into consideration Sundays,
mm-hmm.
and see what are your habits,
mm-hmm.
as a family, as parents, as and also put under scrupulous examination of habits of your children. What habits there are,
mm-hmm.
and how they can be
altered a little bit.
Well, altered or helped,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
for better.
Mm-hmm.
It will take some time and see how it is.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of those things for us it's a little bit different because there is no ifs or buts. We go to church when there is church.
Right.
But if you have weekly liturgy, can you make it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there something that can be rearranged in your schedule and make that little bit of extra time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and see how it is.
Right.
Because you have, at the end of the day, we as parents have to show our kids what's truly the most important,
mm-hmm.
through, as they often start with food, now through movement,
mm-hmm.
which movement, going to church.
Yeah. Breaking our self-will.
Breaking our tiredness. Well, mm-hmm. too bad you're tired.
Yeah.
How can you reject this beautiful liturgical prayer?
Yeah.
And see the habits. So I guess that's the challenge. Just look, give yourself 5 to 7 days and see the habits that you have, habits that the family has, especially habits that children have, because no matter what the age they are, they can be helped.
Yeah, and to make their movement be Godward,
mm-hmm.
and not worldward.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's something that we can ask my dad or Father David to...
I would love that, to have them over and mm-hmm. we can just revisit this section.
Or then maybe him, my dad, and Father David can duke it out.
Oh, gosh, it would be, like, epic. I'm going to make a note for myself on this one.
You should. It's something that I would like to come back to and discuss.
For sure, there's way more... A more spiritually mature
sure.
person could give us so much more depth.
Sure.
So I hope that we can have that.
Yep. And I'm sure that, well, for sure, I will be bringing it up in my spiritual direction, and I'm sure you will too.
Yeah.
At any rate, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time. Saint Theophan, Reclus, pray for us.
Amen.